Saddam Hussein used the Iraqi Ba'ath Party to keep his grip on power. The party was his national spy network. Local Ba'ath offices were the sources of rumors and information that sent millions of Iraqis to prison, where many were tortured, if not executed. The Ba'athists, like the Nazis, kept careful records. Many documents were burned by furious looters or by Ba'ath Party officials themselves who wanted to destroy documents before they could be used to put party officers on trial. NPR's Scott Simon located a quantity of records from a local Ba'ath Party office in Baghdad, and some of those memos and letters provide a small window into how Iraqi society was so successfully suppressed for so long.
Many of the 2,000 pages are held together with straight pins. Paperclips were hard to find during the economic embargo of Iraq. The pins in these Ba'ath Party documents fasten together a welter of blue, white, and green tissue-thin papers that are a chronicle of Iraqis informing on Iraqis, children against their teachers, friends against their neighbors, worshippers against clergy. A memo from February of 1997 says that party members heard an imam in a mosque in Algiers say what they call irresponsible and provocative things.
He says that the government has been delaying the delivery of a lot of foodstuffs, including wheat. We hope that the Ministry of Religious Affairs will follow up to find this person.
There was a letter in December of 1996 from a woman who says that her niece's teacher at a school in Al-Rashidiyah told his students that he'd had a dream.
He said someone visited him in his dream and said, "Saddam's reign should end. We should do everything to attain this. If this doesn't happen, there will be a big catastrophe."
This matter should be pursued, is the chilly response of Rashid Mahmoud, the leader of the Al-Hueda District Ba'ath Party. Mahmoud signs most of the memos in a file labeled Security 97. In January of that year, he tells the Central Security Minister that he no longer trusts a man in his own office because three of the man's brothers have deserted from the army.
He is not capable of instructing his own brothers to understand they should work for the welfare of the country. I take the responsibility of reporting him personally.
Mahmoud seems to be reporting on the predicament of his colleague's family before Central Security can hear about it on their own and perhaps hold him accountable. The kind of note that would pass without notice into the trash of a New York subway station becomes the occasion for an investigation in Iraq. In March, Mahmoud receives a note from another local official attached to a small sheet of paper that was found in a men's bathroom.
This was found by eyewitnesses. There must be an intensive investigation. We want to see who is writing this.
The scrap of paper fairly screams in jagged, angry letters.
Saddam Hussein is a mother. He and his gay son, Uday, them both. Uday is the biggest pimp I have ever seen. He's a pimp because he looks for the girls of the people to. His sister is a bitch.
The note is unsurprisingly unsigned. Cursing the nation's first family is against Iraqi law. Many people were imprisoned and tortured simply for joking about Saddam Hussein. This note probably has enough epithets to ensure a firing squad. An investigator assures party leader Mahmoud that the restroom has been stripped of all signs of dissidents.
Steps have been taken to watch this place. The walls of the bathroom have been painted in a way so that no one can write on them.
The documents make you conscious that men and women in Iraq were condemned for words. One memo says that a Ba'ath Party member is being expelled for what's called deviancy. Being thrown out is just the start of his worries. Homosexuality is a crime in Iraq. His file is sent to Central Security. These Ba'ath Party records were found in a former local headquarters where they lay in a massive jumble in a back room. Those who now occupy the building say that U.S. Marines removed weapons from there, but had no interest in masses of paper. Some of the documents are from other area offices. They were possibly moved there from central headquarters before the war. In a file labeled Security 99, Ba'ath Party officials worry about the smallest signs of dissent. They find a single piece of paper pasted to a locker in the hallways of Baghdad University. It declares,
"Down! Down with Saddam!"
Abd al-Karim Jihad al-Azawi, leader of al-Madayan Ba'ath Party branch, pledges,
"We will find these people who are sticking up these posters."
Documents say that in March of 1999, a party official is arrested for knocking on the doors of strangers and asking to use their phones to call outside Iraq. This matter should be pursued, says al-Azawi, telling Central Security to find those who lent their telephones. In May of 99, he receives an unsigned letter from a woman who says she has a friend, Fatima, at a college in El Adamiyah. She reports that her friend said bitter words about the Iraqi official, now believed to be dead, many Americans know as Chemical Ali, the man who directed the mustard and nerve gas attacks against Kurds in 1988. 5,000 people were killed in the town of Halabja in a single day.
She says that Ali Hassan Majid is a murderer and that he who kills should be killed. Fatima also has two cousins who were executed because they belong to Al-Dawa party, and a third one who lives in the United States.
Al-Azawi passes the letter to Central Security, saying only,
"We should follow up on this."
Another file, Committee on Investigations 99, contains the names of people who deserted the Iraqi army from units around Baghdad. 91 names are listed for the first 3 months of that year alone. In October, a Ba'ath Party member is accused of not stopping Shia Muslim chanting at a cousin's funeral. When he refuses to name the relatives who sang, Abd al-Karim Jihad al-Azawi says with disdain,
"His excuse was that he was sick. He is no longer a member of this party."
A terse note from another official adds,
"His children are also expelled, and their files should be sent to Central Security."
A taxi driver is expelled for not attending party meetings. He says he can't afford to take time off, but is expelled anyway. Another man is expelled for hiding his brother, who's a member of the outlawed Al-Dawa, a Shia party, in his apartment. To be expelled from Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party was not just a humiliation. It amounted to an indictment that could lead to arrest and imprisonment, and often worse. Even if a prisoner survived incarceration, the stigma of expulsion was taken as a mark of rejection by the regime. So there is inadvertent humor when party official Saladin Nasser says in March of 1999 that some Ba'ath Party members who've been jailed and come out of prison have gone into black market businesses like smuggling cigarettes with people they met inside, and they've made money.
"We should study this carefully in order not to encourage other Ba'ath Party members to leave."
All of the party officials in these documents seem to close their memos with an ordinary bureaucratic phrase that begins to sound sinister.
"This matter should be pursued."
Saddam Hussein made the network of Ba'ath Party offices his personal apparatus for spying on Iraqis by inducing them to spy on each other. It drove many Iraqis to be more loyal to Saddam and his party than to their own loved ones. It was a secret, shrewd, and cruel operation that made Iraqis too fearful of one another to ever organize against the regime. British scholar Ephraim Karsh interviewed someone who worked closely with Saddam Hussein, who says Saddam told him in 1979, "I know who is conspiring to kill me," long before they actually start planning to do it. "This enables me to get them before they have the faintest chance of striking at me." Scott Simon, NPR News, Baghdad.